Last night, we had one of the best conversations we might have had all year. Tim from the Other Alliance Guys podcast joined me on the Alliance Guys live stream on youtube.com/thealliance blog as we spoke to Joe Kazana of Joe Kazana Promotions and the Wide World of Wrestling. It was a great conversation. Had definitely a great time talking to Joe, and really appreciated the fact that he jumped on just hours before this big event that they're having today. At the Tennessee Valley Fair. This is their WrestleMania, and it's a homecoming, 50 years in the making for the Kazana family. But I don't need to tell you about it. You can hear it from Joe after this. Times are tough now, guys, and it's no joke out here. That's why I'm very proud to be partnering with the Upside app. They're leveling the playing field, guys. They're giving you opportunities to earn cash back on purchases for groceries, purchases for gasoline, purchases for food. These are the things we all spend our money on all the time. I believe in Upside. I use Upside weekly. My lifetime earnings is over $408. And you too can be earning cash back on your Philips, your groceries, or your eating out experiences just by signing up. And it's free. By using my invite code, JASON75338, that's Jason753338, you'll earn $5 cash back on your first fill up. Use the link in the video description or download the app, but make sure you use that invite code JASON753338 and make money by using the Upside app. Of course, you guys know who Tim is, but let me introduce you to someone who's we're so grateful to have on this podcast today, and that'd be none other than Joe Kazana of Joe Kazana Promotions. Welcome,
Joe. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic. Great, man.
Good, good.
So I'll lie to you guys and say that we just are starting to meet right now, but to be honest, we were talking way before the show started, and this is going to be a lot of fun tonight. Get your soda pop ready, you know. Get your snacks ready, because I think this is going to be a fun conversation tonight. As always, guys, you're welcome to comment in the chat. Keep your comments coming. We'll read your questions so Joe can read them, see them on air, and maybe answer some of them. But first and foremost, we've got a big show coming up tomorrow night when you, Joe, have a big show.
I saw you flying in for that one.
I was like, hey, what'll $20 get me?
Oh, my God, it'll get you in the gate. It'll get you a Coke.
There you go. There you go. I mean, that's not bad. But tomorrow night, obviously, it's a big event that's coming up for you guys in a huge venue. It's the house that your granddaddy built. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about coming home.
Man, it's the right time to come home. I've waited and waited and waited. I've wrestled in Knoxville a bunch of times, you know, through my career. But promoting in Knoxville was something that I didn't really want to undertake at that particular time over the last few years. You know, a lot of promotions have been into Knoxville, and some have done well, some have completely died up there. So I didn't want to muddy the water, so to speak. And I feel like that now that we're looking at 50 years, you know, since a Kazana has promoted Knoxville, solely promoted Knoxville, I mean, it's the right time, and I'm excited. I'm nervous. I probably won't sleep a wink tonight. I didn't sleep worth a flip last night either. But I mean, you know, I can sleep when I die. But I'm excited. I'm hoping that we can pack that place like my granddad did. I got some major boots to fill, you know, with promoting this thing. You know, the house that John Kazana built, and you know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we can do it justice, so to speak, you know. So, again, fingers crossed.
Now, and you mentioned earlier that, you know, you did do – so let me try that again. You have ran in Knoxville with the NWA. You guys did, yes, the Always Ready pay-per-view, as well as the live event that took place out there. How did it feel being in those sacred grounds of Knoxville and bringing, you know, I know it was the NWA, but you were responsible for getting that together. How did that go?
Well, I tell you, to go back a little ways further back a bit, I was born basically into the National Wrestling Alliance. Right. My grandfather was a member of the Alliance, and I worked for the National Wrestling Alliance. It was, you know, it was 1986, and I'd start put rings together in 85, and I got to work for Jim Crockett. And if not for Crockett or Jerry Lawler, it, you know, I wouldn't have done what I did, and I wouldn't have been able to work the territories. But to go back with the NWA, to me, NWA was always home. And when Jim sold it to Ted Turner and it completely went to WCW, you know, I was able to work there for quite some time with as WCW, but it wasn't the same. People have tried to do the NWA since, of course. A couple, two or three people have done it okay. But this NWA it's incredible. I mean, I wish I was 25 again, because this is the kind of NWA that would appreciate, you know, a wrestler my size, as opposed to me getting in the, you know, in the ring in the Land of the Giants like I did.
Yeah.
But coming full circle, I remember vividly, AJ, my son, was working a show, I think, up in Oak Grove, Kentucky, and they had realized that, hey, wait a minute, I think that AJ's dad is an NWA alum. So they got with AJ and said, do you think your dad would be interested? And of course, you know, AJ said, oh my God, yeah, you know, he'd love to do it. So we come into Always Ready, and we had a lot of, you know, conversations leading up to it, a lot of publicity. It was a lot of fun to promote it. And it wasn't exactly what you would consider hallowed grounds of Knoxville, since it was in the convention center, because the hallowed grounds of Knoxville was always Showhowie Park and or the Civic Coliseum. And both of those places were a little bit, you know, bigger venues than, you know, at that time that the NWA wanted to run. But we did Always Ready, had a 2-day event there. And I believe the first night we had it configured for something like 600 people. 600 people would have fit comfortably, but we had to add a couple of hundred chairs. And it was a great show. The next day we did television tapings there, and there were probably about 300 people there at the TV tapings. So it was a very successful weekend for the National Wrestling Alliance. So that was awesome. And then, you know, you fast forward a little bit further to Power Live, you know, and guys, that was in the middle of January. Well, actually it was the end of January. It was cold and rainy, and, you know, I'll be honest with you, half the crew didn't even make it because of the airline delays. I can tell you now, Billy Corgan didn't make it to that show. So my buddy Joe Galley and Kyle Davis were running around like chickens with their heads cut off that day. But we were able to on a Tuesday night, mind you, put 600 people in the convention center on a school night, again, like I said, and nobody left. And the show was tremendous. There was a major hiccup at the show, and we worked through that. I'll just say this for everybody that was there, they would never have known it, but the ring snapped about 10 minutes before we went live. My buddy Dan Jones, who works with me, he's also, you know, my lead, you know, commentator on my TV show. He ran to his truck real quick, got four ratchet straps. We put them with my two ratchet straps, and we ratcheted that ring. And it held up the rest of the night. And I'm talking about the first match out there was Ligursky and Jake Bradley against the Country Gentlemen. And they couldn't stay out of that corner that was broken. So it worked really, really well. But 600 people on a Tuesday night in the middle of winter on a school night, it was awesome. It was great. I think at one time, I think Joe had said that there were 100,000 people watching live on YouTube. And man, that was just, it was a great show. So the NWA is alive and well, and it's in great hands. And I am so proud to be part of that NWA again.
It's got to feel so good, if I can, Jay, just like to continue on your grandfather's legacy down there. Like, I was reading stories today, similar to what you just said about, you know, there he had $4,000 in seats on one night in the middle of like a torrential downpour. Or,
let me segue real quick with you on that. Half of those teams will be in attendance tomorrow night at the amphitheater. Les Thatcher is going to be there, and then Don Wright's going to be there. Right. And for everybody that didn't know who the Wright brothers were, man, you missed out.
Yeah. Yeah. Ron and Don trained under your grandfather when they were younger, and a very young Jerry Lawler.
In that time period, you can't forget Whitey Caldwell either. I wish he would have lived long past 1972. Right. So
yeah, well, I was reading that because you guys were on WBIR, the World Wide World of Wrestling. Obviously, sure. Now Joe Kazan is Wide World of Wrestling, right. But John's back then. 10% of Knoxville's population would be watching those shows on a Wednesday night, yep. Right? Like 10%. It's incredible. Well,
you're talking in a time where the city of Knoxville may have had 48,000 or 50,000, you know, right. residents, because right. the county, you know, even when I was growing up in Knoxville, it wasn't like it is now. It wasn't this big, you know, huge place that you can't drive, but when you've got 10% of the whole population coming to your shows, and he ended up, you know, moving everything to Friday night, right. And selling out that same amphitheater, selling out the Jacobs building, which is right next to it, which probably held maybe 2,500 people. It wasn't anywhere near as big, but at the end of the summer, when the fair would come to town or the home show would come to town, and they'd be in the Jacobs building and the amphitheater, he'd move to the baseball stadium, which was Bill Meyer Stadium. It would seat somewhere between, I think, 10 and 12,000 people. Wow. And he would literally have, you know, probably 6,000-7,000 people there. I can remember going there one night. He'd have the ring right, you know, on the pitcher's mound. But I can remember one night, you don't talk about a torrential downpour.
Yeah.
And they were running. My granddad put me in the dugout, and he said, "You sit here and don't get wet, boy." So, you know, and he said, he said it in Greek, and I said, "Yes, sir." So, but yeah, it's amazing what he was able to do back then. And then even coming forward with my friend Ron Fuller, you know, he'll tell the same story. He literally floundered for the first year. Yeah. And then my God, man, Southeastern Championship Wrestling was my granddad's show on steroids. You know,
it's a great watch. Yeah.
I love Southeastern Wrestling. I'm sad that I never had an opportunity to work for Southeastern. I did work for Continental. I did work for USA, but you know, and Ron was a great businessman and great to deal with. He's come to a couple of my shows. I've had him on my podcast, and you know, he tells a lot of good stories. So
I wanted to ask one more question. I'll hand Jay's show back for a bit. Oh, but please. I read that it was not a decided, done deal for you that you were ever going to be a professional wrestler. And, of course, you've been to WWF, AWA. You worked for, I don't know if it was World Class or whatever Fritz was calling it at the time, right? Yeah. You've been all over. You've done everything. And it wasn't a done deal, but that you made this decision at your grandfather's funeral.
I did. It when my granddad passed away, I guess it really didn't catch anybody by surprise, because he'd had a stroke a couple of years earlier, and he was kind of sort of my granddad, but he was still a shell of what he was.
Right.
I mean, it was just every bit of the talent that he had was gone. Mm-hmm. He thought he could still do it, bless his heart, you know, and he wanted to come back into wrestling so bad, but what happened was at the funeral, you know, you got this big long line, and when you're, I guess, you know, famous like my granddad was, people are backed up all the way out Broadway, and it's just hundreds and hundreds. And then the guys started filing in, and it was like, you know, Ron had asked me, Ron Fuller, "Have you ever considered wrestling?" And I said, "Have you lost your mind?" I said, "No, I don't want to wrestle." "What about refereeing?" And I said, "Well, I don't want to referee either." He said, "Well, let me ask you this." He said, we're doing a Tennessee heavyweight, you know, championship tournament next week at the Coliseum. We'd like for you and your grandmother, if she wants to come and present the title to the champion. And eventually Doug Furness won it, bless his heart. And my grandmother agreed to it. And we got to the show and Ron asked me again. And I said, no. And he said, listen, he said, let me talk to the local trainer and let me try to get you guys together. So he did. And I knew Rick, you know, Rick Connor, he's the one that trained me. Great amateur wrestler. And he was a journeyman, man, did it all. And, it was wild. So I did go to training, hurled my guts out, man, the first couple of times. I mean, puked, but there were 20 of us that started that class. And literally at the end of the training, there was two men standing and that was me and Tom Pittner. And
right, your first match.
Yeah, he was my first match. Yeah. Actually, he and I both worked about five times in Kingsport for our very first show. It was a big deal. They had it was at Dobbins Bennett, and they had like three rings set up. So we'd just go from ring to ring to ring. So it was interesting. I was so green and I didn't know whether I was coming or going. Rick taught me the basics. I mean, you heard it in the documentary, you know, AJ told the story. I mean, I started training in Rick's backyard. Right. I was taking body slams and things like that in his backyard. And when we finally got in the ring, this ring was a 16 by 16 ring. It was vinyl. It had plastic ropes. And instead of the spring in the middle, there was literally a tree stump dead center of this ring. Man, you talk about if I couldn't make it, then ain't nobody gonna make it, because it was tough and it wasn't easy. You know, back then, you know, it wasn't like it is now. I mean, back then they'd kick our ass. I mean, yeah. They would literally just beat us from one end of the ring to the other.
I heard part of that was taking 20, 25 chair shots in one session.
Just to learn
how to do it.
Yeah. Just to learn how to get hit in the head with a chair. I mean, there's, you know, wrestling is, it's 2023. So I don't, you know, my granddad would turn over in his grave, but you know, it's a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a certain way you can get hit with a steel chair and it not knock the complete bejesus out of you. And it'll jar you now. Don't get me wrong. It will jar you. But we took about, you know, 20 chair shots a piece just to learn how to do it. And I guess Rick was thinking, well, let's see if we can get rid of these guys now. But he couldn't do it. And right after that, I got on Ron Fuller's ring crew with Continental. And I tell the story a lot. And I tell Doc all the time, you know, I said, Tom, you know that my grandmother really wanted to kill you. I said, you bled all over one of my really nice white shirts. and I said, my grandmother really wanted to just knock you flat on your ass. But it was a lot of fun. It was a learning experience. And I came in the right way. You know, I tell both my kids this all the time. When I broke in the business and when I started, you know, being able to go to different places, especially, you know, I started doing, you know, jobs for the NWA in the old, you know, Turner Broadcasting building in Atlanta, you know, at TBS. And we would go down there and do our thing. And it was just, you know, I mean, my name did get me in the door. My grandfather got my foot in the door. Sure. And I tell the kids this, I can get your foot in the door, but it's going to be up to you to keep it there.
Yep.
You know, and that was the same, you know, logic that I had. It was up to me to make sure I could stay, you know. But once I got a taste of that, it was great. But at that time, I mean, guys, I probably weighed 300 pounds. I mean, I was a big dude. Then I broke my ankle and then I got bigger.
Look at this guy right here.
Yeah. Well, that guy right there was about 270.
Yeah. Who does he look exactly like?
Well, the hair looks a little bit like AJ, but AJ doesn't have that porn mustache from the 80s.
I think you guys look identical to each other, maybe past that mustache, but yeah.
Maybe. But I'll tell you, you know, to talk about keeping my foot in the door. I'd worked Scott Steiner one night and I was a big dude. I mean, I could move and I could work. And I'll never forget Tommy Young came and he said, Joe, he said, Dusty and Jody need to see you in the office. And I said, oh God, what have I done? You know? And it's like, I go to the office, I sit down and Jody and Dusty are talking and Dusty just looks at me. And I really can't talk good Dusty unless I scream and holler. So I'm not going to do that, but he looks at me and he just basically said, kid, he said, we love your work. We really do love your work. And this part, by the way, was cut out of the documentary. But he said, we really love your work. And he said, but you're just too goddamn fat to wrestle. And I'm looking at Dusty Rhodes, I'm looking at Jody Hamilton, the original assassin, and it's like, are you guys ribbing me? So, I mean, I took it to heart. But Dusty said, if you'll do the work and you'll lose the weight, he said, we'll sign you. He said, because you could do some good work with us. You know, we work, you know, 6 days a week. We, you know, sometimes, you know, seven or even eight times a week, but you could do some good work with us. So I went home, I lost 86 pounds, I think it was, bleached my hair. And thank you, Izzy Slapowitz, for that, which I bought.
You got one of those right there. Look at that.
Yeah, that's him. That's the WCW Joe or the NWA Joe. But yeah, that's that dude right there. So Dusty had been, he was gone at that point. He got fired and in comes Mr. Charisma himself, Mr. Personality, Ole Anderson. Yeah. And Jody held true to Dusty's word and they signed me and I was able to do a lot of work down there. So I was happy. And like I said, my granddad got me in the door, you know, unbeknownst to him, but I kept myself there. And that's what I tell both the kids. I'll help you, but you got to maintain, you got to get there and you got to show them that you got what it takes. And so far, I think AJ has done a pretty good job. So, and I can tell you now that Kirk has to. So, he's doing the work.
We were both in St. Louis for the pay-per-view and I just loved seeing your son walk around and he, you know, he had the belt. He was so happy. He was walking through the room and I don't know if you're familiar with super fan Polka Dot Pam, but she happened to be there and Tim and I were both looking like, that's AJ. And he goes, oh, I'm nobody. You got Pam here. I'm nobody. And it's just like, it's just a good sport about it. And such a, you know, very excited to be there. And I thought that was really cool to see that side of him. You know, we don't typically, when
we're watching, he's a teddy bear. Don't let him fool you.
He seems like the nicest guy in the world.
He's a good dude. I mean, he gets around his mom and he melts. You know, so he gets around me. Listen, let me tell you something about AJ. I love him dearly. I'd die for him. But the kid cannot return a phone call or a text message in a decent amount of time. I could literally text him right now, and then he'd text me back in 2 days.
Yep.
And then I forget what those. I was talking about. or it would be I could text him today. He would ignore me, and he'd text me back as soon as he saw me at the park tomorrow. You know, and it's like, why are you texting me now? Well, you texted me. I said, yeah, 48 hours ago. You know, but no, he's a good kid. He's a good kid. And Kirk is about as humble and as good a kid as you'd want. He's just Kirk is the laid back one. You know, he's really laid back. Now he'll get in your crap and he'll get pissed off, but his fuse isn't as short as AJ's, but they're both good kids.
I have to imagine that, you know, your own personal success in the ring and your success as a promoter is kind of overshadowed when you see the success of both your boys in the ring, because, you know, that is you, that's your DNA, and you're getting to see them perform, whether it be on the Wide World of Wrestling or on NWA Power. You're seeing both your boys really take it to that next level when it comes to wrestling. And, you know, AJ's been at it for a little while, but you know, you were telling us just earlier that Kirk's just been in the business for a short time.
Yep. 4 months. He's going into his fourth month now, actually away from doc and training. So yeah, it's crazy, man. I mean, it's just the stuff that he's doing and AJ will tell the same story. He has absolutely no business being this good right now.
Like a prodigy, right?
Do what?
he's a prodigy. He's learning it through osmosis. It's just in the DNA, I guess.
I guess it is. I mean, I picked it up really quick. AJ picked it up really quick. But I mean, I guess a lot of the stuff is the fact that I used to, you know, get in the ring and work out with Kirk when he was just, you know, in junior high school and high school. And I taught him some of the basics, even then, headlock takeovers, long arm bars, all this stuff. And I guess it just translated into his training and it just all flowed. So I'm interested. I hope I live another 30, 40 years so I can see what both these kids do. You know, I mean, that's my goal is to see exactly, you know, how far they're going to go and what they're going to do. I mean, it truly is really, really cool to see my kids doing this.
So forgive my ignorance, but I know that your in-ring career kind of ended in, I would say, like the mid-90s, like 94, 95, if I'm right.
Yep.
Okay. And then the Wide World of Wrestling, the promotion, Joe Cazzano Promotions, really started in 2017. Is that the date right?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. I mean, if you go back and you look at our YouTube channel, our television stuff, I put a show on there that started the whole ball rolling, which was in 2016. And I actually wrestled on that show, and Jim Cornette was my manager.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's a fun show. It's a great show. There's no commentary. It was a show that I did for the football program down here in Meigs County. And it was a lot of fun to do it. And we've been doing shows for them ever since. So yeah, I mean, when the Wide World of Wrestling, I guess the inception of the Wide World of Wrestling, really, I didn't take the name until probably 2019, you know, and I ran with the name. It's, you know, it's mine now. It's my granddad, you know, he had actually trademarked it back then, and I've done that now.
And it's a great name, by the way. I love it. It's so, it similarly to the NWA, it pulls from that nostalgia.
Yeah.
And even if I wasn't super familiar with your grandfather's wrestling promotion, but just the name itself, I'm like, there's certain names that kind of resonate with wrestling fans. And then like another one that some of the other promoters used to use in the NWA was like Parade of Champions for their shows. Like, that's beautiful.
Yeah, that was in Texas. Like, the Von Erichs used that one.
There was an NWA promotion, I want to say like in 2016, that used that Parade of Champions title. It was just like, that's chef's kiss.
It's perfect. Well, Wide World of Sports under your grandfather, that ran right after CBS Wide World of Sports, right?
The Wide World of Wrestling, it actually ran right after, correct.
Yeah.
Wide World of Sports, I think, is at 5 o'clock, and my granddad's show usually started at 6:30 on a Saturday night.
Right.
And they had taped, and they would tape it that Saturday morning in the studio.
Wow.
So yeah, and then they would always have some spot show, whether it's in Newport, Greenville, whatever, and they would always talk people into the buildings at that point. Have you seen the show? I mean, you know, there is one of his television shows out there on YouTube.
I have it now.
I'm going to search it out later. I did. The only thing I saw was some of the clips from that from the documentary.
You can watch a whole show. It's about an hour and 5 minutes long. It's got Ron Wright doing an interview. It's got Jerry Lawler on it. Sam Bass. Just some of the old time guys. It's the only video that has ever been leaked. And unfortunately, I know who the leak was. And now it's funny. Back then it ticked me off. But and I tell people a lot, you know, they say, well, what else do you have, anything else? And I said, you would be amazed at what I have. I have other television shows that I absolutely refuse to put out, to let anybody see. They're all put away in a box. I've got my grandfather's diaries from 1967 coming forward to 74. I'm talking every card, every show, every stitch of weather, every payoff, everything that you could imagine is in this diary, including phone numbers from back in those days, from, you know, the legends. I mean, Lou Thesz's phone number, and you know, just Eddie Graham's phone number, and guys like that, and then Jim Crockett Sr. I've got newspaper clippings, same thing, from the Knoxville News Sentinel, Knoxville Journal, from 67. Actually, even going back even before that, with the Lyric Theater, when my granddad and my uncle George, his brother, ran. But I mean, I've got that stuff, and it's got weather, it's got gate, it's got it all. And wow. I will not let that stuff see the light of day. And Scott Teal's been after me to do something with it. And I said, the only way I'll do something with it is if you do it, you know, and then we'll decide what we want to do with it after it's done,
I got like 5 Scott Teal books here. He's a great writer.
Oh yeah. I love Scott. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Someone in our chat is asking, what are those collection plates in the background?
That one is Scotty. There's Star Trek IV. That is Generations, The City on the Edge of Forever. Then just one of the cast. And then that's Mr. Chekhov back behind me.
Would it be suffice to say that you're a huge Trekkie?
Yeah, you'd think.
So what I was going to ask you is, so between the time that you left inactive, active competition, you mm-hmm. stopped wrestling, and then you started promoting, were you still involved with the sport? Were you still helping out somewhere else, or did you step away from the industry for a while?
I stepped completely away from it.
Okay.
I got a real job and didn't look back. And then professional wrestling is a lot like the mafia. I mean, when you think you're out, like Don Corleone said, they pull you right back in. And in, I guess it was 2009, actually it was probably a little before that. My grandfather and I were inducted into the East Tennessee Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. And I didn't wrestle on that show, but I went and accepted the award. And then a couple of years later, I was asked to actually wrestle on that show with my old partner, Johnny Meadows, God rest his soul, and Ricky Morton. We were a 6-man. And I actually wrestled on that show with them. And, the bug really not necessarily hit me again. But in 2009, I was asked to do a show for the football program when AJ was in high school down here. And it was a one-time shot. And I did that. And I said, well, this was pretty fun. I said, I'm getting a little older and I'm kind of enjoying it. So, fast forward a little bit, I went to a few shows, as a fan in between, but in 2016 was actually the show that started it all back. So
what struggles did you have to overcome getting back into the industry, getting back into promoting wrestling?
Struggles. I mean, the biggest struggle was not getting in the ring and making a complete fool out of myself. I did a match, like I said, in 2016 with Cornette as my manager. And I worked with a guy that I've known for years. His name was Stan Lane. Not Stan Lane. I'm sorry. Stan Lee. Stan Lane. That's Midnight Express. But it was Stan Lee's from Virginia, a real good friend of mine. And we had a really good match. It was a solid match. I mean, I can't say that he didn't carry me a little bit, because I was probably, 220 pounds at that point. And I was blown up. Yeah. It was just one of those things. But when I actually decided to retire, completely get away from in-ring competition, it was 2018. And I worked a guy by the name of Jerry Sampson, and I had Mark Bagwell in my corner, and Teddy Long was there. It was a great show. We made a lot of money for the school that night, but I actually got myself into shape for that. I mean, I was in the weight room, I was doing cardio, I was ready to go, and it was the way I wanted to finish, and that's kind of sort of how I finished, except for this little stint that I did with AJ when he first broke in, and we worked a match with Kerry and Ricky, and I popped my calf muscle in that match, and either Kerry or AJ, and neither one of them will admit who it was, came flying over the top rope and whacked me in the eye. So, and I tell Kerry all the time, I said, it was you. And he said, oh, no, it was AJ. I said, oh, it was both of you, probably. it was fun. Like I said, I hurt my calf, but, it is what it is. And right now I'm probably, for being the age that I am now, I'm probably in the best shape I've been in a long time. And I'm doing this specifically because I want to possibly have that last go round in the NWA, maybe one or two matches. Now, you listen to Silas Mason, he booked the whole territory on the way to Winston-Salem. I mean, he's wanting he and I to do a death match with two light tubes and all this other nonsense. And he said, we won't even hit each other with it. He said, on the finish, Cornette can hit the ring, have two light tubes on his tennis racket, and just crack me. And then he said, I'll settle a little bit. And he'll say, damn, Joe, I didn't know you wanted the belt this bad here. Take it. You know, but I've got no intentions of doing that. But in the event that they would like for me to do something in the NWA, I'm going to be prepared. I'm not going to go into it like that old guy that I can remember back in the old days. And why is he getting in the ring? He doesn't even belong there. So right now I'm 215 pounds and I feel great. You know, so
who would you want to work if you had your last match in the NWA?
If I had my last match in the NWA, I'd have to work with Ricky.
Yeah, it has to be Ricky, right?
Yeah, because I mean, I've done at least 10,000 matches with him.
Yeah,
you know, and I don't think I ever won one. But I told him, I said, you know, if we ever work again, I said, you do know I'm the babyface now.
Yeah,
you gotta, that's right. And I said, you gonna put me over?
I read on Cage Match once. I was just looking through your matches over the years, and mm-hmm. Cage Match is a site that doesn't have every match, but it has a lot of matches.
Yeah.
And in 1990, one night in December, I'm guessing it's like World Championship Wrestling TV taping. You worked the Road Warriors.
Oh my God! Yeah.
And the Steiners and Lex Luger on the same day.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I mean, it was not unheard of to do that. I mean, it was the Road Warriors were easy. People give the Road Warriors a bad name, but they were easy, man.
Good.
You know, it was we did a lot of matches with the Road Warriors, and have I wrestled Mike Jackson? Yes, I have. But we Road Warriors, man. I mean, like I said, I'd wrestle them in house shows. We'd have good matches at that point on television. Who's calling me? Oh, look, another promoter. I had to call him back. We do a TV thing, and I was tagging. It was the only time I ever wrestled the Warriors on television. And I did a tag with Hacksaw Higgins, big dude, about 6'4", 6'5", about 325 pounds. And we're getting our match, getting our finishes. Well, you know, on TV, Road Warriors are going to hit the ring. They're going to knock somebody out. Then they're going to do their thing, tag in, finish, you're over. So we're going over it. We're in the office with Jody. And Mike said that he said, we're going to take it on Joe if that's cool. And Jody looks up and says, no, you're taking it on Higgins.
Make him work for it.
You knock Joe out of the ring and he doesn't get back in. So I don't know. I guess Higgins might have had heat with the office. I don't have a clue. But the Road Warriors were super easy to work with. The Steiners, honestly, at that time, I had no issues working the Steiners whatsoever. Scott was as bad as he was about as new to the business at that point. But you know, the dude could go, man. He was really, really good. Rick Steiner was a hoot. I mean, we'd have a lot of fun working. I worked him in a few single matches, but there was one match in particular, and it's out there somewhere. He was perfecting this crazy move off the top rope, this belly to belly thing that he did. I was the first guy he ever did it to. I was the first guy that a lot of these guys ever tried something on. But we were climbing. He got me up there climbing. He's telling me this stupid story as we're going up. And then on the way down, he gives me the punchline. And I said, you son of a bitch. And I'm doing everything I can to keep from laughing at this. It was a great joke.
Sure.
But these guys were, you know, there were some guys that I could have killed. I can tell you, Stan Hansen, I love him to death. And I remember the first time I worked him, he said, Joe, he said, no offense, and this is nothing against you, but when you take the clothesline, take your bump, because I can't see nothing without my glasses. And he said, and believe me, I worked him for, I think it was two straight weeks. And yeah, after the first night, yeah, I learned how to fall real quick. But he wasn't bad. Vader wasn't bad. People think Vader was terrible.
That's what I was going to ask you about, because Vader has this reputation of being such a beast in the ring, but
he was good. He was like, you know, Rick used to tell me all the time, you know, you get in the ring with guys like Valentine and people like that, they expect you to lay your shit in. And Vader did too. Leon told me before we went out there, and I wrestled him in the Omni, and he told me before we go, he said, whatever I hit you with, he said, come back with it, you know, come back with it. And I did. And it was a competitive match. It was fun. He was not difficult at all. The worst people I've ever been in the ring with, I'll tell you straight up, the worst one was Bill Kazmaier.
Oh yeah. World's Strongest Man, Bill Kazmaier.
Let me tell you something. You watch that match on YouTube and slow it down. He hits me with that clothesline. You see my front teeth come flying out of my head.
Oh, geez.
That's a true story.
Was it that he wasn't very good in the ring, or was he just horrible. Really snug?
Oh, horrible. No, he was horrible. And you know, I dare him to tell me that I'm lying. But the thing about Bill was a nice dude. I mean, he's a good guy, but he just couldn't work. They pushed him too quick, which they did a lot of people that way. I mean, Elegante was another one. I mean, he didn't speak a lick of English. Thank God for Fidel Sierra, you know, because I mean, when I worked with George, it was, you know, Sierra telling me what we're going to do. And I'll never forget Flair walked by me and the Giant. He looked at Fidel and said, you know, this kid's going to make the Giant look good. So you take care of him while he's out there, because Joe's really, really good. So I said, good. I got the stamp of approval from Ric Flair. That was great. But yeah, it was working a guy that's 7'6" and I'm 5'10". You know, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
This is not a mismatch, is it, Jody? You know, so I said, I swear I told Gene Anderson that night. I said, I think you did this crap on purpose. You know, I'm 5'10", 200 pounds. This guy's 7'6", 450 pounds, you know. But it was, I have literally worked a who's who in this business, and it has been a lot of fun.
Who was your favorite person to wrestle against? Was it Ricky?
Brad Armstrong.
Brad Armstrong.
Yeah. Let me tell you something, man. Any of the Armstrongs, all of them. The only one I've never worked was Brian. And it's not because I didn't want to. It's because he was up in the WWF. And, you know, I was not even in the business at that point. But I've worked every one of them. A couple of good stories. Quick one about Bob. We were working a show. It was Smoky Mountain. And he and I were working a match somewhere in North Carolina. I think it was Hickory, North Carolina. And his music hits. All the fans go, you know, completely crazy, you know, they drooling over, you know, bad to the bone. And then Bob's coming to the ring, and I look at Mark Curtis, you know, Brian Hildebrand. And I said, Brian, where's Bob's mask? He forgot to put his mask on.
Oh no.
Yeah. So he gets to the ring, and I said, Bullet. I said, where's your mask? And he felt his jaw, and he said, ah. But that was fun. But the one match in particular I remember with Brad, we worked a lot. You know, I worked with Brad, Tracy, and Steve. I mean, a lot. But one match in particular, we were in, God, we were some town in Kentucky. I don't know if it was Barberville, Kentucky. It was the B squad for WCW, and none of the guys had showed up. It was me and Brad, Randy Colley, and Tim Horner. We were the only ones there. None of the other guys were there. So Ronnie West was the agent, and he tells me and Brad, he said, guys, he said, I need you all to go 30 through, legitimate 30 through.
Oh,
so
man.
We did. Listen, from the lockup, we had the crowd right here. From the lockup, he could grab my arm, and they were up here. I grabbed his arm, and man, would they boo. we had everything going that night, and it was dead perfect. And then Tommy Young, Nick Patrick had told us, okay, match two's ready to go. Let's go ahead and we'll ring the bell. So we did that. Then Ronnie said, I can't remember who it was, didn't have his boots laced. And I told Brad, I said, okay, I'm going to ask for 5 more minutes. I said, and this is all in the ring here. I said, I'm going to ask for 5 more minutes. We'll go about 2, hit your Russian leg sweep, get the 3 count, scoot out of the ring. Let's leave the fans happy.
Yeah.
So he did that. And then Brad and I go back, man, and we get this great round of applause. Everybody's happy, and leave it to our wonderful, fearless United States heavyweight champion. Well, how the hell can we follow that? I looked at Lex and I said, you know, you're the U.S. champion. You ought to be able to follow anything.
You gotta figure it out.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. Ricky Morton was another great opponent. I mean, Ricky, we worked a lot together. When he came back to WCW without Robert, you know, and he was working singles, we had this big loop we were doing, and the first town was McMinnville, Tennessee. And Ricky and I jerked the curtain. And we went out there and went about 12, 13 minutes and tore the freaking house down. The rest of the loop, we were semi-main event.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. Ricky's a lot of fun. He is the consummate professional, Ricky Morton.
There are two names on the list of many wrestlers that you wrestled that I just have to ask, and if you have any memories about them, I'd love to hear them. The first one is you wrestled one of the very few matches that Owen Hart had in WCW. Can you tell me any memories you might have had of that match?
It was a good match. I mean, I know that. Owen, I guess he had gotten mad at the WWF. I guess it was after the first Blue Blazer stint that he did. Yeah. So he came down to Atlanta, and I remember we were called in the office, and – it was the booking committee at the time. So it was Jim Ross, Flair, I think Terry Funk, maybe one other one. I can't remember, but they had told us that, okay, Owen, you're coming in fresh. This is your first match here with us. We want about a 60-40 match and just, do your regular finish. But Owen was, he was a really nice guy. I mean, it was the only time I ever worked him. And there wasn't a whole lot of interaction other than we go over our match together and we thanked each other at the end of the match and, say, hey, we'll see each other on the road somewhere. And he was literally, gone a month or two later, went back to the WWF, I believe. But Owen was a great worker, smooth worker. No issues.
The other name, it's a very controversial name. It's one of Tim's favorite wrestlers. But back then he was a blue chipper, and I'm talking about Shane Douglas. His career. Tell me what it was like wrestling Shane Douglas.
Dude, Shane Douglas was a great worker. He was a really, really good worker. Shane actually worked on my show back in 2018. When I had my last match, he worked a tag match with Davey Rich against the Heat Seekers on that show. But Shane Douglas, man, you talk about he was a good looking baby face. The girls loved him. The men loved him. The Dynamic Dudes were a great tag team. They were a lot of fun. Johnny Ace, John Laurinaitis was a bit green at that point. We'd get the heat on him and Shane would make the comebacks, but Shane Douglas was a great wrestler. Never had any issues with Shane whatsoever.
In the late 90s, when you were working with Smoky Mountain, at that point, Jim Cornette had a relationship with the NWA. Did you ever get to see any of the NWA matches kind of come down to Smoky Mountain? Were you involved with any of that stuff?
A couple of them. I was there mostly, like you said, through the NWA. I was gone when the WWF had a working relationship with Jim. But the NWA, when Watts had it, the shows, there was a couple of shows where we went and did some stuff at Center Stage, as Smoky Mountain wrestlers. And then there was some stuff that they did. I there's not a lot of memory that I have of what we did because it really didn't last long enough.
Yeah.
Even the WWF stint did not last long enough, and it could have been so much better. It really could have been. I don't know why it wasn't, but I was gone for before that, and then when I reared my ugly head again with Smoky Mountain, it was at the Night of Legends.
Yeah. So one of the questions that I've been looking at your roster for the Wide World of Wrestling, it's a great roster. I mean, there's a lot of familiar faces, especially for NWA fans. And anyone who isn't watching Wide World of Wrestling now, I highly suggest you go and subscribe to the channel first and foremost.
It's free.
Number one, it's free.
Yeah.
Number two, a lot of us are looking for something to fill the gap from NWA USA. It's no longer on the air. And it's like, well, if that was part of your Saturday morning viewing habits, mm-hmm. I mean, there's three seasons of Wide World of Wrestling that is available to you right now.
Yep.
That you could just watch one every Saturday, or you could go binge watch all of them and get caught up with what's going on there.
Yeah. But I mean, you've got three seasons. You've got probably 9 or 10 podcasts that I've done. Plus, you've got that crazy show from 2016 where Jim Cornette was my manager, which nobody ever saw that one coming.
Well, now I'm going to go watch that one specifically.
It was fun.
Your roster is extremely talented. And like I said, there's a lot of familiar faces to NWA fans. Of course, mm-hmm. Silas Mason is your Southeastern heavyweight champion. Yep. You've got Toby Farley, for those who followed Tony Givens' NWA Smoky Mountain back in the day. He is the open weight champion. Freya the Slayer, who appeared on NWA Power during the Circled Squared in the first mm-hmm. season, she's your women's champion.
And don't forget, she's doing the Netflix thing now, and I'm actually up to the third episode, and she's looking pretty good.
I watched her take on Roxy today from last week's episode, mm-hmm. and she's grown so much since the first time I saw her. That's one thing that I kind of see that's on your show is some of the talents that I've seen elsewhere look like they've gotten a lot better when they're in your ring. Is there any reason for that, or is it repetition, or are we just seeing them in a different environment?
If you watch the show, it's who you're in the ring with. If you get in the ring with, Snoopy the dog, you're going to be horrible. But if you get in the ring with Ric Flair, he's going to make you that much better. I try my best to make the matchups better. I try my best to get to lead them into what I want. If they improvise, they improvise. I don't mind them improvising whatsoever, as long as it comes out to the determination that I want or the finish that I want.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's all in who you put them in the ring with. Again, I've been in the ring. I never worked down. You know, I never would work down. I would always make my opponent work up. I remember I was working an independent show a million years ago. This really tall, lanky kid was this promotion's champion, and I could have snapped him like a twig, and I could have really, really just done anything I wanted to, but I wanted him to look good, you know, and I was having him do things that there was no way he would have ever done it with somebody else. I mean, a 200-pound guy power slamming me, you know, and it's just. If you're willing to give back, you know, I was always taught that it's a give and give business. You know, you give, they give. It's never been really what you'd consider a take. You know, it's always a mutual thing, or it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So I think if everybody works together, then, you know, you're gonna put the best product out there. My opinion.
And in your area, I mean, I know that Pritchard and Jacobs, the wrestling mm-hmm. academy, is right there. Is that where you scout for the majority of your talent? Do you go to other wrestling shows to scout talent, or how do you figure it out?
No, it's the talent that I use. I'm a creature of habit.
Okay.
And I like certain talents. I would venture to say even AJ's not been on every one of my shows. There's been a few that he's not made, but I mean, I've just got a good core group of people that I can choose from. And then of course, AJ will come to me and say, "Hey man, this guy right here, or this tag team." I mean, it was AJ that brought me Freya.
Right.
And she's been a great champion. She's easy to work with.
What a great get, by the way, like for AJ. Yeah. She's very talented. She has that a lot of ladies don't have is you can't teach it is size.
Exactly. Yeah. And we've got another one that's like that, and that is Audrey Allen. She's as fresh to this business as anything. But she has got the potential to be a monster. I mean, the match you saw, was that the one where she interfered in the match?
Yeah.
She has that it, you know, it's kind of like you look at AJ Kirk or some of these other people that has that it factor. There's something there. You just got to harness it. You just got to figure out what that it is.
She also has that look that will grab your attention right away.
It
doesn't look like all the other female wrestlers, which I think is super important. Not that it's, you know, wrong to have girls who are beautiful and some of the girls who are really big. She was very strong. She was very muscular, and it's a dichotomy we don't see that often.
Exactly, but every female wrestler, every professional wrestler, female that we've got, they're all pretty. And they all can go. They can wrestle. They can work. Kenzie Page is going to be here tomorrow. Kenzie's worked for me a lot. I love Kenzie. I mean, I remember when she broke in. You know, Kylie's the same way. Bless her heart. I love Kylie. Ella, she can go. I mean, and my God, Camille, are you kidding me? You know, I've got all these ladies on the same show at the same time, along with Roxy and Freya. And, you know, it's like, geez, you know.
Wonder if we can
I didn't see the whole, Kenzie beating Camille at that particular point coming, but I'm glad I had them both booked.
You know what? I think a lot of us were shocked, and I still am, because I really still feel like Camille has kind of been the face of the NWA in the last few years.
Oh.
And I was kind of surprised to see her lose the title. But, you know, if Billy Corgan is going to continue to grow this brand, of course, the youth movement is going to be super important, but also like really quality talent. And one thing that you could say about Kenzie Page, and that nobody could take it away from her, is that girl put in the work. I remember when she entered into the NWA, she looked different. She was very, very green, and now she looks like a seasoned pro. I think anybody would be lucky to have her on their shows. And you see it now. She's not only is she getting booked as the NWA Women's World Champion, not only is she being booked as a tag team with her sister or Ella Envy, she's just everywhere. Every independent show I see in the Southeast, I see a poster with Kenzie Page's face.
Oh, yeah. She's a good person. Kenzie and Kylie both, I knew their granddad. I know their dad. I mean, they're good people and they're really, really, believe it or not, they're as much as they go on with this whole, all that nonsense. They're really, really sweet girls. And the same thing goes for Audrey. She'd probably shoot me for telling this, but she is probably one of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet. Very respectful. I spend quite a bit of time with her. She's a really good girl. She's going to be a really great wrestler one day.
You've got Roxy too from Pretty Empowered in the NWA. Riley Rocket. I don't know what she's called down your way.
Well, she's Roxy now. So I mean, we call her Roxy. Yeah.
That's good.
Riley's dead.
Yeah. Jeremiah Plunkett. Plunky's we're all big fans of Plunky around here.
Oh shoot, I'm hot at Plunky right now. I had doggone punk. He's at Disneyland.
Oh, he is. Yeah, yeah.
He can't be in my show anymore because he's at Disney. You know. Yeah.
Dressed up like Mickey Mouse on Twitter today.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that picture. Plunky. I said, "Is that your new? That's your new gear." He messaged me back. He said, "Yeah, he's. I'm gonna wear it at your next show." I said, good. I said, "Let me catch you in Cleveland, Ohio. You can wear it in Cleveland."
I know you have this big show that Jay's gonna talk to you about, but
if
from out of your roster. We know our Roxy's and our Plunkett's and our Mason, who's just, you know, a standout, incredible prodigy or phenom maybe. who is, and of course, AJ, who don't we know on your roster yet that you think is the next Thrill Billy, the next, AJ, the next Jeremiah Plunkett? Who will we know about in a couple of years?
That's a good question. I'll tell you right now, we've got a tag team. My tag team champions, nobody knows who they are, but they're going to be good. This is the Stu Crew, Zach and Dylan Stewart. Okay. They're gonna make some noise here in the next year or two. There's no doubt in my mind. Axton Ray is another one. Gustavo. He's somebody that, I mean, they're on all my shows.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, you don't hear much about him, but Axton Axton is the only 225-pound man I've ever seen do what he does. You know, cutting these flips and this Lucia stuff that he does. And Gustavo could actually walk to the ring or dance his way to the ring and never lock up and have a great match, right, and never do anything. He worked with a fellow by the name of JDL last year on one of our shows. And all Gus did was he just danced to the ring, did something, pinned JDL. They're done in 8 minutes. It's like, wow, that worked. You know, but Gustavo, Axton, Ray, you don't hear much from these guys. And honestly, you don't hear enough about Toby Farley.
He's one of the guys that I'm familiar with because, again, we're not talking about Tony Givens and Innovative Pro Wrestling, yeah, but that's where I saw Toby Farley first. And I've seen him for a long time from the Tony Givens promotions.
Right.
And watching his maturation and seeing, like, that guy's put on size. His in-ring work looks immaculate.
I never thought he could wrestle. I always thought he was just this deathmatch king. And that was his stigma with me. And then I actually sat down and talked to him, and then I watched him wrestle. Matter of fact, he actually wrestled Kirk in his very first match. And that match is out there on YouTube, I think. And good God, what a match. I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would see a match like that between Toby Farley and KC Kazana. I mean, it was crazy. It was that good. I mean, I managed KC that night, and they're doing a superplex, and I looked up and said, basically, WTF. You know, are you kidding me? And now I'm hearing that Kirk is doing a coast to coast in training. This kid's nuts. Awesome. But hey, you know, whatever.
How old is KC, if you don't mind me asking?
21.
So he's, you know, of course he's doing the coast to coast. He's 21. Yeah. He's Superman right now. He doesn't feel,
yeah, but this 21-year-old is also 235 pounds. Yeah. And he's doing it. And that's crazy. I don't even think Shane McMahon weighed that much when he was doing it.
I don't think so.
So, I mean, yeah, it's crazy. But I think Axton, you know, Ray and Gustavo, they've got a bright future. Stu Crew's got a bright future. You know, I mean, honestly, the ones that are on the show now that has not done anything with the NWA, I think it's only a matter of time before they do.
Right.
I really do. It's I don't know. It's just something about this NWA, man, that is just it thrills me every time I get around it. And the locker room is I mean, my God, we just got off this tour with the Pumpkins, and we hit like five or six towns, and no arguments, no screaming, no shouting. They're all in two buses together, you know, or two vans together. It's like a family. The NWA is a family. No drama to speak of. You know, of course, with Dipstick, you know, resigning, that was drama. But I mean, it was quickly done. But I mean, they had a good run, and it could still be going. And that's what you know upsets me about the whole thing. They could have this run all the way through, and they could have, you know, taken over second place.
At any time somebody makes a decision that affects somebody else, I think that's always bad for business. Yeah. And especially like, you know, I don't want to get too behind the baseball here, but you know, if you're on the show, you're booked. If you're a champion, you're booked. There's not much more you need to say than that. If you have a title and you're the champion, of course you're booked.
Sure.
So
sure
you I won't are. Say anything more than that, but
no. And I'm not going to, I don't, I mean, and honestly, he did good work with us at JCP. He did good work in the NWA. But I think that I think that decision was, I don't know if it was well thought through or not. It's again, I've not spoken with him, and it's none of my business. But it did affect my son. And ultimately, AJ Kazana is still Andrew, you know, he's Andrew. He's my son. Right. And when he's hurt, I'm hurt. So, but I think he's over it now.
Yeah. You know, and I'll add to this, not being no part of this whatsoever, is no grudges forever in pro wrestling.
No, right? Absolutely.
Things change in front of the camera, behind the camera all the time.
Oh yeah. Every day, all day.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
My youngest, Piper.
Oh, okay. Named after Roddy.
You got it.
Hi, my friends. Hi, Dad's friends.
All right.
Hi,
Dad's friends. Yeah, she's my little hot rod. So getting back to it then, we were talking about who you think might be next, but who are some of the guys that haven't appeared on your show yet that maybe you would like to bring into, you know, the next event?
Is wow, there anyone man.
In the NWA roster that you're looking at saying, he'd be a good fit?
Yeah, I mean, I look at that NWA roster and it's like, God, these guys are good. Honestly, I want Trevor Murdoch.
Oh.
I mean, now who's calling me? Oh, that's my mother.
She's like, Trevor Murdoch, is he coming?
Yeah, that's Trevor calling me. No, Trevor would be great to have. Mike Knox would be great to bring in.
Oh, yeah.
God, it's just, I mean, I would love to bring in La Rebellion. I mean, I think they would be great to bring in, and I'm not so sure that Stu could keep up with them, but I think that they could really, you know, make Stu better.
Sure.
But I mean, those guys are great. So, I mean, fantastic. Honestly, it's just, but Murdoch, I think is probably one of the number one people that I'd love to just bring in. I mean, and if I could get him and Knox at the same time, that'd be even better.
I'm going to throw two things out for you and feel free to dismiss them anytime you want. But having watched Jax, Dane, and AJ together, I could watch those two guys fight forever. And better yet, I could watch them team up. I know that, you know, I don't know what's in the cards for AJ, but, you know, Jax Dane, that's my guy right there. And,
I'm going to tell you something about Jax. I love Jax. Jax is a good dude. I want him to come and work here. It's just never worked out. We've talked about it. I mean, he just lives right down the road. He's right. Not far from us. He's down in Saudi, and he's right here. And Jax is, I mean, think about Jax Dane. Jax Dane has done it all. Yes. There's nothing that Jax hadn't done. You know, he carried the NWA with the championships, whether it's the world title, national title. He's world tag team champion. I think the only one he's not gotten was the U.S. tag titles. And it just seems like that he and Blake couldn't get it together to beat the gentleman. And then Silvio sticks his nose into everything. I got all the respect in the world for Chris Silvio. I really do. That guy right there, to give him his props, you know, he gave me the workout that helped me lose this last 62 pounds. Oof. And, you know, my hats are off to Silvio, and I will sing his praises to my dying day for doing that. Jared Fritz is another one that has helped me with this whole, the weight loss thing. And matter of fact, Jared's going to be here tomorrow. He's going to referee the show. Kirk's picking him up at the airport in the morning, but it's honestly, man, I'm having the best time of my life right now in this business. I mean, I had a lot of fun when I was wrestling. Don't get me wrong. I mean, drinking on Ric Flair's dime is always fun. You know, getting Bobby Eaton to buy anything was always fun. But this is the most fun that I've had. And I'll tell you, I absolutely love the National Wrestling Alliance. I mean, just because my kids work there, that's all well and good, yada, yada, yada. But I love the National Wrestling Alliance. And I'll tell them every chance I get. There's absolutely, you know, I get excited every time that I hear that we're going to do something. And it's a lot of fun. Silas versus Murdoch, that'd be good.
That'd be
like Jax and AJ.
And especially if you talk about that, you know, the Southeastern Championship. I mean,
I don't know what I'm going to do here. Silas is your national champion, and he's working Latimer tomorrow night. So Latimer's going to work for the world title. He's going to wrestle EC3. And it's like, okay, guys, something's got to give here. You know, are we going to defend the national title tomorrow night? Probably not. But could you imagine Latimer taking the Southeastern Championship from Silas tomorrow night? You never know.
I know this isn't official and no one else's, but maybe me saying this, but I feel like there's, at this point, at the very least, there's that cousin type relationship with the NWA. And I kind of feel like, even though that these aren't NWA sanctioned titles, I feel like these titles have meaning for NWA wrestlers and potential NWA fans. And I would pop if I saw Tom Latimer show up in October wearing your title. You know what I mean? Like, that would,
yeah,
people would be like, well, what's that? And it would kind of add to more to the allure of who Tom Latimer is. Like, hey, he's not just a one trick pony.
Oh, God, no. No, Lord, no. Tom Latimer, man, at some point over the next little while, he's going to be the World Heavyweight Champion. There's no doubt in my mind. EC3 is going to be a great champion.
Oh, yeah.
He is. I can't say enough good things about EC3. He's really, really good. He's a good dude. I guess my relationships with these guys are a lot different now than they would have been if I was still a competitor, because I see both sides of everything. But I think that EC3 is going to be a great champion. I think he's going to hold the belt for quite some time. But I think that it's going to be Tom Latimer that eventually dethrones him. That's my guess. I'm booking the territory. So
sure.
Billy, Joe, Kyle, if you're watching this, let's move on this thing. Let's do it at Power Live in January or something.
If it were up to me, I think that would be the hierarchy too. I tell anyone that'll listen, I feel like EC3 right now could be this version, this era's version of Nick Aldis,
where all very, very possible.
All these great things as world champion, having taken the belt to the United Kingdom, to Canada, and all across the globe. Mm-hmm. I really feel like EC3 could do the same thing, maybe even better.
I think he will. I mean, you know, he and I have talked about him coming here and defending the championship. That'd be great.
Yes, please. I don't live in your area, but if that's on YouTube, I'm watching it. I really strongly believe that EC3 is the guy that the NWA needs. And that's not to take anything away from Tom Latimer, because I think he can be that guy too.
Well, don't forget though, EC3 is over, man. Yeah.
That was great. Let's talk about the event tomorrow.
Sure.
You said it offline. This is kind of like your guys' WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You've got 4,000 seats to fill in that venue, and you're bringing in some pretty heavy hitters as far as I'm concerned. I mean, we already talked about how great Freya the Slay is. She's going to be – I believe she's going to be defending her championship.
You never know. I haven't even announced those matches yet. There's only a couple that I've even announced.
You spilled the beans about Tom and Silas tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's a given. I mean, my God, my champion has to go up against the hottest baby face in the NWA right now.
That's going to be a good match. Are these matches going to be filmed for your channel later? Are we going to be able to watch these later? Or this is exclusive?
You will.
That's another thing for all the NWA fans out there who are listening to this. There's going to be some dream matches for you on this card.
Let's just run the card a little bit. You want to?
Right.
You're gonna get a scoop right now.
Scoops. Right. We love scoops.
God, do I want to give you? I ought to just give you the pre-show and just let you go with that.
Rolando versus the towering giant of Gustavo, now, right?
No. They've already wrestled and they had a great match. Matter of fact, you see the little red book right here. I still use the little red book.
That's amazing. I love it.
And right here is the actual card of what we're gonna do tomorrow night. And I might give you a couple little things. I will tell everybody this, that the legends will be announced during the pre-show. So you might want to get your seats around, I don't know, 6:45 or so, and give these guys a round of applause. Now, believe me, I didn't want to do it, but Doc said, oh, you got to be one of the legends too. I'm not a legend. I don't consider myself that. A lot of people do, but I don't. I'm just me. But I'm going to be doing that too. But I'm going to introduce all of them, and we're going to do that. There'll be a couple of there's going to be a six man and a regular tag match to kick off the pre-show. Another kid coming in that's really good. Now Kirk's got two straight wins on him. And they're working the three-peat. They're going for the three-peat Saturday. His name's Tyler Shoup. He's pretty good. There is I'll give you this match here, the Blockbusters. These kids are from England. And they have been working with Doc for the last, you know, 2 or 3 months. They're actually going to take on Devin Dixon. And I know you guys know who Devin Dixon is.
Yeah.
You know, he used to be Silas's partner. And then right. and his partner, Big L. So that's two members of the TVA. And so they're going to do that. So there's a match you're going to get to see tomorrow night. Toby Farley is going to defend his championship tomorrow night. I'm not going to divulge against who. Gustavo. this is a match that I think a lot of people have already seen out there on Facebook because they've kind of been, you know, I guess bickering back and forth a little bit. But and this match has got the potential to steal the show tomorrow night. And it's going to be Kerry Morton against Casey Kazana.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know, man. I just think that this match has got that potential to do exactly what I just said. Shame Kerry doesn't have the championship anymore. But that's okay. They're going to have a great match anyway.
Kerry's a heavyweight now, so it's all good.
Oh, Kerry's not a heavyweight. I don't care what he says. I mean, I'm closer to a heavyweight than he is. I'm 217 pounds right now. Kerry's probably about 205 or 10 pounds. I tell you what I did do on the tour that we went on. Kerry left his belt. He left the belt out at the table, and KC got it. And you know that, he was pretty much in charge of that championship for 5 days, but he left it out there. So I cut a promo on Kerry. I told him, I said, you know what, Kerry? I said, at that time I was like 225 pounds. And I said, you know, in my day, 225 pounds was a junior heavyweight.
Yep.
You know, I said, maybe you ought to think about possibly defending this thing against me, but I've got the championship right now. I said, I'll see you tomorrow.
The possession is
looking it over your shoulder. Come
down.
So
I just held it. Then I went back and gave it to him. He didn't mean to leave it out there, but like I said, you'll see Silas against Latimer tomorrow night, which is going to be a great match. Honestly, though, I'm not going to give you anything else.
We'll have to wait.
Here, sneak peek. There you go. But let's just
hope y'all screenshot that.
You will never see it. I moved it too fast. Superman speed. But it doesn't matter because every match on this show, I will guarantee you, is going to be worth the money. And honestly, all you got to do is pay to get in the fair and you can come to the show for free. And it's, again, it's going to be a great show. And for all you people out there that like to drink beer, they're going to sell beer. Much as I hate that, but they're going to sell, I mean, don't hate beer, but I just think wrestling, I don't know. Concessions, though, of course, there'll be concessions. The guys will be selling pictures and t-shirts and the legends will be there doing their thing. And of course I told Doc, you got other responsibilities, so you don't have time to sell your pictures. He said, I couldn't sell them anyway, I'm looking forward to everything we're doing tomorrow. I'm a nervous wreck about tomorrow because I got big boots to fill, like I said.
Well, we know where it is in the house to John Belt, but what's bell time tomorrow?
Bell time 7 p.m. is for the main show. Pre-show is going to start about 6:15, give or take. Gates are going to be at 5:30 unless there's a line out there. If there's a line, then I'm going to let everybody in early. Come out, see Tom, see Camille, see the longest reigning NWA, you know, women's champion of all time, 813 days, I think, which is crazy that Camille held the belt that long. But she did. And, Kenzie will be there. Kylie Page, Ellie Envy. So there's three world champions right there. Of course, AJ, Casey, Silas Mason. I mean, it's just, Ricky Morton will be there. Kerry Morton's going to be there. Rolando will be there. There'll be funnel cakes, I'm sure. And fried Oreos too.
So you're talking to a fat guy right here. You're selling my language here. If I was anywhere near Knoxville, I would be there for sure.
That's what Billy said the other day when I was talking to him. He said, man, he said, I want to come to this show. I said, well, all you got to do is get on a plane and come down. He said, well, tell the future Mrs. Corgan that. I said, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I think that this is whether there's four people or 4,000 people there, you know, I'm going to give these people a Kazana show. I mean, it's going to be the best show that I can put together. And this is something I want to build for, you know, the future as far as with the Tennessee Valley Fair. It's the biggest fair. Nashville can say what they want to, but Knoxville's got the biggest fair there is in the state. Like I said, we compete with Nashville on everything. They get a pro team. We don't, you know, we wanted the aquarium and Chattanooga got it, but you know, it's okay. But the show is going to be great. I promise that we're not going to be there till midnight. Believe me, we're not going to be there till midnight. Because we can't be. But this is just one of these events that literally this is the first time again that it only happened one time, and that's 50 years, and it'll never happen again. So if you're listening to this thing, and I tell everybody all the time, if you're an old school wrestling fan, whether you know the product or whether you don't, just give us a chance. Don't doubt us until you try us. And again, that's my mantra. That's my logo. That's what I say. I feel like that. And in my heart, I've got the best professional wrestling company. I got the best professional wrestlers in all of the East Tennessee Valley. Right. I don't think that there's any company that's any better in the Valley. There's two or three companies that work upper part of East Tennessee that are really, really good. The promoter that had just called me, he's SPCW. He's really, really good. Again, Kenzie's home court, her and Kylie's, is KFW, and Tommy Henry runs that, which is, you know, Kenzie and Kylie's father. Great show. Rodney Freeman, Lou Freeman runs Kingsport, does a great job up there with Imperial Pro. Tony Gibbons, like you mentioned him, Innovate is really, really good. And then the new kid in town up there is NetPro, and that's run by Dan Jones. SSW is up there in Kingsport. So, I mean, there's quite a few, you know, organizations up that way. If you come down this way, you know, you've got Jaden Newman down in Chattanooga. He always runs a good show. We don't ever run on top of each other, and we all kind of get along with each other. And, I mean, this is a good time to be a wrestling fan. 100%. But tomorrow night is I don't know, man. My day's going to start about 5 o'clock in the morning, and it's not going to be over until probably midnight or later. But it's just one of these once in a lifetime things. Like I said, you are never going to get another 50 years.
Right.
This is it. And, we're looking forward to whatever, you know, it holds. The weather is supposed to be absolutely terrific tomorrow night. I mean, the high tomorrow in Knoxville is 79 degrees.
Ooh, that's pretty.
Sunshine, beautiful weather. If you talk to Pollo Del Mar, tell her she should have been here.
I will.
The last time I had Pollo booked, couldn't catch a flight. You know, kept canceling on her. But we'll definitely have Pollo Del Mar back at some point. But man, this is a great time to be a wrestling fan. The National Wrestling Alliance is exactly where I want to be, and it's exactly where, you know. And I made the comment to Kyle Davis last night. I believe in my heart that the NWA will become the number two company within the next year or two. I solely believe that. And I say that because it's run professionally, it's run the right way, and they don't throw money after every WWE superstar that gets let go. I know that the cons have billions of dollars, but just how much are they willing to lose?
I'm not gonna say anything bad about the cons, but the situation with CM Punk I don't know. But, Joe, I want to say, first and foremost, good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
100%. Yep.
Very hopeful that you have the crowd that will be meaningful for you.
I hope so.
This is, like you said, it's the first and last time you can do 50 years, and we're hoping that you have a great sellout. Thanks. Secondly, man. You know, you shook my hand in Nashville. I said, hey, I do a podcast. You said, yeah, come on anytime.
Yeah.
Without hesitation, you volunteered to jump on, so I – not only do I respect you, but I'm also very happy that you came on because this was a great conversation.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on the show, and I enjoy doing these from time to time. I mean, I don't do a lot of them, but you know, when I get a chance to talk about the NWA or you know JCP, it's a lot of fun. And there are a lot of stories in my head that I can tell, and there's a lot of stories in my head that I'll never tell. it's been a pleasure being on here with you guys. Now I've got to go and deal with the rest of my night. So yeah, I've got like 18 phone calls and messages and my mom and everything else. So you know how it is when an 80-year-old mother gets on the phone and she'll keep calling and calling and calling. So, it was a pleasure with you guys and I'm happy to come back anytime y'all want me.
Well, I'm going to hold you to that. And tell AJ that you beat him onto the podcast because I've been reaching out to him for a while too. So
he just won't answer the phone.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for everything. Guys. Best of luck tomorrow night.
Thanks, Joe.
Appreciate it. Thank y'all.
Have a good one. Oh, I cut him off too soon. Say it one more time. Sorry.
What am I supposed to say?
I clicked you off the screen too soon. You're saying,
you kayfabing me or something. I just said it was a pleasure, and you guys have a great night. And I know you're on the West Coast, you lucky bunch of dogs. Cause it's about 5 o'clock out there.
For me, it is. For this guy, he's in Canada. He's
you're on the East Coast. Well, you're on my time then.
Yeah, it's 9:30 here right now.
Yeah, 9:30. That's about right. So I'm gonna go and do my thing, and guys, y'all have a good time, and have a great podcast, and I'll talk to y'all soon. All right.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one. All right.
Joe Cazana, man, that dude is amazing. I knew he was a good guy. Like, look, I'm not, he's still in the screen here. He could still hear what I'm saying. I knew he was a good guy. I didn't know how good of a guy he was. How good. Like, he was very respectful, very nice, gave me a high five, shook my hand. But come on, give us an hour and a half of his time before the big show, the big event tomorrow. Follow him on Twitter. Make sure you guys go subscribe to that channel because first and foremost, like he said, it's free. It's free. And it is good quality wrestling. And Willie Bowen's always in here talking about Freya the Slayer. We're all huge Silas Mason fans. We all love Jeremiah Plunkett. Midnight Heat wrestles for them. Former NWA World Tag Team Champions. AJ Cazana, KC Cazana, KC's going to be kind of a big deal in the future, I think, for both wrestling promotions. It's not a hard sell. They've got some pretty good wrestling. I totally back them up. I think you guys should check them out. Luther says, I need a big bottle of that Kazana. That's the juice right there. I'm telling you, and I've watched a few of the programs. I'll be honest, I haven't seen every single one yet, but over the last 2 days, I've watched the last two episodes. And it's good wrestling, pure and simple. And a lot of you guys who are looking for that fix on Saturdays, because there is no more NWA USA for the time being, you can make Joe Cazana's promotions, Wide World of Wrestling, your NWA USA. I don't know if that's coming back anytime soon, but you could certainly get caught up very quick watching that.
Yeah, maybe we'll start covering it over on the other show. That's,
Poyo de Mar has been waving that flag for a while. I don't know if you ever jump on her live streams on Twitch, yeah. but that's what I got introduced to. I think she calls him Papa Joe sometimes. Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in to the Alliance Blog Podcast, a presentation of alliance-wrestling.com. The premier source for news and information for the National Wrestling Alliance. Would you consider subscribing so you never miss a new episode? You can follow us on all social media at the Alliance Blog, and we stream live on Twitch, Kick, and YouTube every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 5 p.m., 6 p.m., and 8 p.m. Eastern at the Alliance Blog. Until then, we are the Alliance.